You know, the other day I found two guys. You know, I was going to the P.O. box just to check if I have a business, and I was checking if I got a check. But I found these two guys looking at through the window, you know, and I started talking. And they have a company too, and they one does rough roofing, and the other one I think concrete. And they were looking out, and I asked, hey, you know, what are you doing? Oh, we're just looking to see how can I get the checks that I just put on the blue thing that you put all the your letters and everything. I wanna get the checks that I put in there, cause I didn't get any. So before I check, if I was getting a check, I put my payments and everything there. So they were figuring out, can I get them out? They asked me, and I said, well, I don't know. And they were just, there looking. And we start talking. The Lord speak to me through that. There is a cost on pretty much everything. If you have a company, those who know, so many just see the benefit. They say, oh, you can do whatever you want, you can take whatever day off you want, but they don't see the cost. What about tax time? When you're doing your taxes, you're running, you're doing all your things and trying, the other person just get a check, or you have to pay. In an instant, you don't get anything. But there is a cost of, remodeling your house. It's easy to say, oh, I would like to see granite here. I know you guys just remodel your place, your house, but it's easy, oh, we'll put this here, this here. But there is a cost, and that doesn't sometimes let you do all you want to do. On buying a new car, you see your old car, but you see the benefits of having a new car. There is a car, I don't know if you know, a Lamborghini. Do you know how much it costs someone? Many of us don't even think, because you know that you cannot afford it. It's $1.6 million, just a car. And that's not the most expensive, because I was looking. It's unbelievable. There is a cost. The guys, I was talking to a guy who was going to the Olympics, and he was telling me, oh, you have to train so hard, you don't have vacation. There is a cost, Everybody would like to win a gold medal, but there is a cost for that. There is a cost for following Jesus. And sadly, in our churches, we talk a lot about the benefits of, following him. And we know, pretty much we all know what he can do for us. But there is a cost of following him. And, that's what I want to talk about this morning. The cost of following Jesus, or being, in instance, a disciple of him. And we're going to pray. Lord, I ask you that from my mouth won't be just empty words, Lord, but your power. I pray for each one, everybody here, that you will speak to their hearts. We want your word to teach us, exhort us, and correct us, Lord. I pray that you will move and do your will, Lord. We're in your hands, and we want to please you in everything. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you go to Luke 14:25, it says, I'll give you a chance. Luke 14:25. He says, now, great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brother and sister, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberately, whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who come against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet great way off, he sent a delegation and asked for terms of peace. So therefore, any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. You know, I remember when I was, you know, in college, you know, at the beginning when you go and you go into and put all your classes together, you will see a lot of people, you know. And we were all happy talking to each other. It's nice to see you. Oh, I'm going to take this class. I'm going to take this class. You know, I'm going to do this. Everybody's happy. You know, at the middle of the semester, you don't see so many people. You know, so many has, you know, just drop off, you know, the class, you know, they're gone. It's hard to see everybody. Everybody's studying, you know. I remember I there were some that they would put as many classes as they could, and they would, you know, take three at the, you know, when there was a time, they would, you know, just drop two or three. Because there is a cost on doing that. And, you know, when Jesus was talking and saying and talking about the cost of following him, you know, you have to think about it. He says you have to sit down and think about the cost of following him. You know, because it's so easy to find people in churches now that they just, you know, complain or this or that. But it's because they never count the cost of following the Lord, you know. And I know it's some so easy. If I ask you, do you want to follow the Lord? And, you know, you respond, might be yes. You know, it's like if I tell you, do you want a new car? You're going to say yes. Do you want a nice house, you know, where your kids can play, where you have a dog and you can let it run, you know, where it has a big kitchen, you know, you have a garage. Everybody's laughing. You have a garage. You can put all your tools. Everything is so nice. But and if I ask you, you will say yes. But what, you know, what if I come, you know, you enjoy that house, and then I come and say, you know, oh, the cost is $6,000 a month. And you're like, I'm living, you know. And that sadly, that's what is happening, you know, when you don't count the cost of following Jesus, of following the Lord. And, you know, let's go to Luke 9, 57. And this is where we are going to take, you know, this was just an introduction, and this is where we're going to spend most of our time. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds have air, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, Let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, there is a lot going on this passage. And now just to understand, you know, all this, first we have to see what verses 51 and on says. And it says, Jesus, at the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, he was resolutely or determined to set out for Jerusalem. And, you know, we have to see this in order to understand 57 through 62, you know. We know that we all know what Jerusalem meant to Jesus and his apostles. And, you know, it was, you know, the cross and the suffering. And, you know, he said that he was determined to go to Jerusalem. And that's when he talks about follow me, or, you know, the other guy was saying, I will follow you. So, you know, in Luke 18:31 and 33, we see that they're going to Jerusalem. And everything, it says, that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flaying him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. And then when he got to the city, you know, in Luke 19:41 and 42 says, when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the thing which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. So, you know, we know what was going on when he said, going to Jerusalem on 51. He was going, you know, to suffer for us to the cross. And then on 57, you know, as they were going along the road to take to Jerusalem, you know, someone said to him, I will follow you. You know, and I know many of us, you know, have said, Lord, I will follow you. I will follow. And he says, wherever you go, you know. And now we can see and we can understand and see more clearly. Three times we read the word of follow to describe what it means, you know, to be a disciple of Jesus. 57, I will follow you. 59, follow me. 61, I will follow you. The point is that being a disciple, you know, or a Christian is more than learning about him. You know, it's following him wherever he goes. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So let's go to the verse and see, you know, what was Jesus doing responding the way that he did when this, you know, said, I will follow you. And the first one, no place to lay your head. Let the dead bury the dead. Put your hand in the plow and don't look back. So what was he doing? You know, he was teaching and he was testing. He was teaching that the road to Jerusalem will be a very hard road. And he was testing if he was the greatest treasure in their lives. And that's what happened, you know. That's where you can see if he is really the treasure of your life. Because, you know, it's sad. And for me, is that I see, you know, I lead a house church. And I see so many come and go. And it's sad. You know, many of you have seen it, you know, in the church. They come, you know, and they're following it and they go. And it's because they, you know, he wasn't the real treasure in their lives. Jesus was not the real treasure. And, you know, if you decide not to go to Jerusalem on the road, you know, with him and follow him, it's because he wasn't the greatest treasure in your life. You know, if you keep, you know, stumbling, and you go back and you don't want to know about God, it's because he wasn't the greatest treasure. And that's what he was trying to teach them. You know, I'm going to Jerusalem, and it will be hard there, you know. And with this, really, I don't want you to make these words as hard, you know, as more harder than what they, you know, seem. And we know that there are blessings, you know. We know that, you know, Mike has been talking about the riches of his glory and all the things that we have in him in Ephesians. And we can see the great benefits, but when we don't count the cost of following the Lord, you know, that's where so many, you know, stop. That's where so many, you know, don't follow. And, you know, they say, and you can say, oh, I will follow you. Jesus will say, really? Do you love me? Do you love me that much? Am I the greatest treasure in your life? Am I the biggest thing in you that you said, I will follow you in the road to Jerusalem? You know, when you don't count the cost, you're going to end up being, you know, a believer, one who believes in Jesus, but, you know, he will be suffocated. And we see it in the when they were sowing the seeds, and the things of this life will take you down, and you will never be the person that God intended you to be. You know, you will stumble one time, another time. And, you know, he's saying, really, do you love me that much that whatever it comes to you, I'll be the greatest treasure in your life. I will be the greatest thing, you know. And he says, take up your cross, you know. And we know the cross in those times, the writers will use it just to, you know, make fun of someone, or is something shameful that, you know, or put him on that cross, or that in the cross he was. So it means that you have to die. You have to, you know, lay everything before the Lord and follow him. You know, see, I wanted to ask you this morning, you know, who's here to follow? I know we're all, that's what we're all trying to do, you know, follow the Lord. That's what you're here, you know. You're not for the music, I hope, or someone. You're here to follow the Lord. But have you count the cost? Do you know? You know, I know you know the blessings. He can restore your life. He can give you peace. He can, you know, he says he has blessed us, you know, with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. There is so much. You know, it's like that house. There is so much you can enjoy on a nice big house. But it's a cost. And that's what I wanted to, you know, let you know. That way you don't say, nobody told me about this when I was following Jesus. And he will be with you always. And don't take, you know, he was testing how much they will treasure the you. And I will follow you by telling them what the follow will cost. And this is really important. He was testing how much they will treasure the you, and I will follow you by telling them what the follow will cost. Following Jesus, it will cost you, how much will, what it will cost you to follow Jesus? Who knows? Everything. Everything. And you know, I'm pretty sure he's, you know, he has told you so many times, follow me with all your heart. Don't look back. You know, the creator of the universe, the God who holds everything together, who creates you, who gave you life, he's telling you, follow me. And or maybe it was you who said, I will follow you, like the other one in that he says, I will follow you. But don't make these hard sayings more difficult than, you know, they are. You know, first we can look in Matthew 19:21, the rich young ruler, you know, God said, oh, sell everything, give it to the poor, and follow me. But in Luke 19, 8 and 9, we see the tax collector, you know, he said, I'll give half, you know, to the poor. And Jesus says, joy, because in this day, you know, salvation is in this house. So what it is that Jesus knows your idols. He knows what you're attached to. You know, it's not that he was creating laws for all the disciples to keep and, you know, or you will not have money, or half of your money you have to give, or you will go without a bed, or you will go, you know, without a funeral for your dad. He wasn't putting rules for you. The thing is, the point is that he knows your idol. He knows what is holding you. He knows perfectly what is competing in your heart for affection with him. He knows it. You know, and I know he looks at each of us this morning, and he sees right to your heart. And he knows what is competing for his affection, for saying, I will follow you. Oh, but first, let me finish all these things. Let me do all these things. He knows it. He's going to ask you that very thing. You know, it's not like, you know, you have to sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. It might be that you're really attached to material things. It might not be, you know. And don't take any of this, like, you know, I preparing this message, I was asking some people that I know in the past that what is it so hard? Why don't you follow the Lord? You know, and I was trying to picture real things, you know, that affect us to follow after Him. And, you know, one will give me one thing, another. But the thing is that the Lord knows what is that thing that is in your heart. I remember I was talking with she's not here. That's good. Anna. No, I already talked to her. You know, once I was sharing on a, you know, Tuesday in a house church, and I was telling them, trust God, you know, make Sundays a priority, and, you know, ask your boss, or you know, put it in that you will follow the Lord. You will be on Sundays. You will worship with the body of Christ. And she told me, she was saying in her mind, oh, Eric doesn't know that my boss is like this. Oh, Eric doesn't know that I need the money. You know, she was sharing all these things, you know, with me, and it was helpful. And I was thinking, you know, but later she told me once, you know, she lost her job, and then they offer her a new job. And she was on the phone, and her husband was, you know, beside her, and she didn't have a job. And they said, oh, can you help us Saturday and Sunday? And, you know, we'll give you more hours. And she, you know, she was quiet, remembering what I said. You know, and she said, yeah, I'll help you Saturday, but not Sunday. You know, and her husband was like, what are you saying? You know, it's a good opportunity. You're going to make money. You know, you don't have to say no when they're offering you a job. You know, she said no. You know, and after, you know, days will pass, and, you know, sometimes they will say, really, you don't want to work Sundays? You know, it's really busy. You will make money. No, not Sundays, no. So since then, nobody said anything more to her. You know, their co-workers, they said, why is she will hear? Why is Anna having Sundays off? Why not us? You know. And she said she always goes, you know, she doesn't want to, you know, make conflict. But she determined and said, I will follow the Lord, you know, no matter the cost. I know it's going to cost, you know, for some people. I know what it's going to cost for me not to be working right now. Or for some of you that have the opportunity to work. I know, you know, so many that I know they have work right now. They could be doing. You could be doing something, but there is a cost on following the Lord. And the good thing is that He will provide. He will not leave you. He's not saying, you know, oh, you won't have this, you won't have that. You know, I can tell you, when I make the decision to follow the Lord, and I didn't have a job, I didn't know anything about construction. So I got a job on a restaurant, and they said, you have to work on Sundays. And I just made my commitment to the Lord, and I said, you know, I will follow you. And they said, you have to work on Sundays. What could I do if it was, you know, my job, you know, that would provide for all my needs? But I have Jesus that I was putting, that he was the biggest treasure in my life. I will follow you like that man, you know, on the road to Jerusalem yelling, I will follow you. What can I do? I was asking, you know, should I go? Should I stop? And I made a decision. And then, you know, I won't tell you the whole story how, you know, I got into construction, you know, because that's how the God now gave me this business, the business that I had. But if I will say, no, I will take this job, it's for me, you know, and I will follow the Lord later. You know, I wouldn't have all that I have, all the, you know, seriously, I probably won't be married, you know, my wonderful wife. I didn't have those two kids, but I took a decision, and then I found love in the church. You know, it's so much. I'm not saying you won't have so many things. I'm just saying that God knows your idol. God knows what is stopping you to make a fully commitment to the Lord and say, I will follow you, Lord, wherever you go. If we will have to go to Jerusalem, if I have to take up my cross, I will follow you. You know, but he knows. You know, this morning I was expecting, you know, some of the people that that would have been invited, you know, and I use this, oh, I'm sharing, you know, come. Be with me, you know, I want you to hear the message. And, you know, they all say, yes. You know, but then, you know, one by one, oh, you know, I have to work, one said. Or I have to do something. I have to finish this, you know. The thing is, I know that they have intentions, good intentions. They want to, you know, come. They have expressed to me they want to be here. They want to worship. They want to follow the Lord. But there is an idol. Or there is something, you know, in them that they cannot renounce, that they cannot give up. And the Lord knows that very thing in you, you know, to say, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And I know that I can see my life and I know what it's going to cost me. I know what is for me. So don't take this, you know, and make it more difficult. He's just trying to show you when he says, oh, let the dead bury their own dead. You know, he's not saying you won't go to your father's funeral. He knows what he was stopping this guy from following and sharing the message of God. So don't take, you know, any offense of, I don't have to work on Sunday. I don't have to do this. Or this is for me. Or this is not for me. Or this is for me. No, he knows what is going on in your heart and what doesn't let you, you know, follow him. We know the benefits of following the Lord. And that's why I didn't want to focus on that. We know the blessings. We know he can give you peace. He can restore your life. He can help you to forgive. But do you know the cost? You know, imagine a football player. Bob is not here, huh? Imagine a football player just waiting to get paid. And he doesn't train. He doesn't do anything. By the time the game comes, you know what the other one's going to do to him. You know, he won't be on the field so long. He won't be able to run that long. You know, but if you know the cost, you know, he knows that they pay well. We wish, you know, we'll get, you know, one of their paychecks. It will be for, you know, 3 months, 4 months, I don't know. But, you know. But they know the cost of being a football player. They have to train. They have to run. They have to, you know, say no to so many things. You know, do you know the cost? Is the Lord showing in your heart what it's going to cost you to follow him? Have you think about it? You know, don't weigh Don't wait till the end, and then when they say, oh, it's going to cost you this much, and you say, no, and you know, I'm not following you. You know, that will be a sad thing, because, you know, when he says you put your hand in the plow and you look back, you know, and you say, oh, you know, the money I make on Sundays or, you know, or whatever days it is, I'm not saying just Sunday, but it's more important than what I could receive from the Lord. You know, he is worthy of us following him. You know, one night we were in my house and we were playing with the kids. There was Ainsley really excited playing with me. There was Hannah. And then I don't know how we looked through the window. And, you know, we can see the road. And probably you guys can see the road too. I don't know if you saw. There was this guy, you know. It was weird. It was night, and it was really cold. This was last week. It was the coldest night. You know, you will see a package here, another one over there, and you will see this man. He will grab one, you know, and you wouldn't see him for a while, and then you will see him. And I told Hannah, I don't know what he's doing. We should call the police. That was my first, you know, thing I thought. But then I said, I'm going to go. Probably he needs help. And that's what he was doing. You know, he had these so many things. And, you know, the roommate kicked him out. That he didn't have a car. He didn't have probably a friend or anyone. And he was going to the bus station, you know, to take the bus to Silverthorne. And then from there, he has to go to a hotel, you know. And he was carrying these things, you know. And I went, you know, and I talked to him and I said, hi, you know, and he was talking loudly and, you know, saying bad words and all this. And I said, well, maybe I don't need to help. And I was leaving and the Lord, you know, was convicting, you know, myself. And then I said, no, I'm going to go and talk to him. And then I talked to him, but he kept doing what he was doing. And I said, well, what are you doing? Oh, and he explained everything. And I said, you know, I live here. I have a truck. We can take it. You know, we can go and we can take it. But he didn't stop. It was amazing. He didn't stop. He will take this. You know, he was cold. He didn't have a normal jacket. And he will keep moving the stuff while I was saying, hey, I will help you. And he kept doing it. And, you know, and he kept doing it. And I said, hey, I'll be back. I'll bring my truck. You know, he didn't even say, you know. And then I talked to him and I said, well, it wouldn't take you so long to get home. You got to do what you got to do. He was determined to do it. You know, he counted the cost when he said, I'm leaving, you know, it's 9 o'clock, it's really cold, I have all this match. You know, he knew the cost, but he was going to do it. You know, and that's you know, the Lord showed me so much through that, you know, we when we see things really difficult, we stop, you know. We say, Lord, I will follow you. And when we're getting to Jerusalem, you say, you know, I'll see you later. You know, this man was, you know, he know what he had to do. You know, and when we got there, you know, he was taking everything, you know, he knew. And I wish, you know, our Christian life would be like that, you know. We know what we're getting into, and we know that God is going to help us. God is going to help us all the way. He said, I will be with you. You know, he will give us more than we could imagine. But is that, you know, if you say, Lord, I will follow you. I will follow you. And you don't look back. And, you know, there is a danger. There is a danger on looking back. And that's what, you know, because probably most of us were following the Lord. But what happened with the third one that it says looking back? And this is what I want you to think about and take it and see what the Lord says to you. There is a danger of indecisive discipleship or followers. And, you know, he raised the question in verse 62 about, you know, someone that is a fickle following. The danger of indecisive discipleship. No one, after putting his hand on the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You cannot plow straight while looking back. You cannot serve Christ. That is, you cannot make Christ look great or good if you're looking back all the time. You cannot serve Christ. That is, he will not look great when people see you, that you're, you know, all the time looking back, and all the time looking back. And looking back means longing things, you know. It means that we're not really sure if it's worthy following, especially to Jerusalem. You know, where he was going to die. Divided hearts like that are not useful. And you know, they don't display Christ. So the thing is that if you are one that is on this, you know, I don't know if I commit, you know, for the retreat. I don't know. You know, is it worthy? Is it worthy to go to the retreat? Is it, you know, or is it worthy to make God a priority in my work, in my life, and everything? You know, that you won't show Christ the way he should be displayed, you know, with all his glory, if you walk like that. You know, and I want you to see your heart and check your heart and see, Lord, am I looking back? Am I counting the cost of following you? Am I saying, Lord, you know, I know what it's going to cost me. You know, so many of us, you know, we don't want to even pay the price of waking up early in the morning to come Sundays, because sometimes I ask and they say, you know, I wanted to sleep a little more. There's a little cost on the whole thing of following the Lord. You know, being early for a celebration. You know, so many times, you know, on Tuesdays on our house church, so many don't go because they're tired. They're not willing to pay the price, you know, of being tired and going to hear the message, you know, what God is doing. You know, so many of us, and when that happens, you cannot show the glory of God display, saying, Lord, I will follow you. Even if, you know, tomorrow I lose my job, I will follow you. Even if I have to do this or this, I will follow you. You know, and put in the retreat or Tuesday, this is a small thing. You know, he wants your life. He wants everything. But if we cannot be faithful on little things, you know, and saying, Lord, I know the cost. I know it's going to cost, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow you. And when people see me, they will see you displayed. They will see your glory. They will see that I'm changing, that I'm, you know, following you, that I decide to forgive, that I decide to you know, put you first. You know, because there's so many that are shaky that they never take that decision. That, you know, that they just, you know, like to hear. It's more than hearing, you know. That's why when in 51, where they're going, and they're saying, oh, we're going to Jerusalem. Jesus was determined. He knew what was going to happen. He was going to be on the cross. And they were walking, and one yells, I will follow you. And he responds, oh, the Son of Man doesn't have even where to lay his head. You know, he knew the idol on that person. He knew what was stopping him. God can see through all that we can put up and see what is stopping you to follow him. He knows. You know, you can fool me or other person. You can even be here, you know, and look all nice. But he knows what is stopping you to follow him fully. You know, he wants everything. Whoever does not take up his cross He's not worthy to be my disciple. Take up your cross. You know, I wish, you know, I will have time to tell you all the benefits. But probably we have heard so much about it. And that's why we follow the Lord. We have, you know, eternal life. We have so many things. But, you know, I want you to see the cost. And when you see the cost and you said, I will follow you, you are saying that He's the greatest treasure in your life. That He's everything. That no matter what it comes, no matter what it happens, you will say, Lord, here I am. You know, but otherwise, you know, you will be plowing, you know, and looking back. You won't be able to follow Christ if you're looking back all the time. You know, if you're longing for those things, you know, in the world. If you keep doing that, you won't make the glory of the Lord be displayed. They will only see a normal person that is trying so hard, you know, to say, I'm going to make it on Sunday. I made it this morning. You know, it's more than that. It's just, you know, and I want to be, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm all the way there, but God is asking me, like Bobby says, you know, he's asking you something that I don't know what He's asking you. And you know it in your heart. And you know what he's asking you. Well, Lord, am I willing to pay that cost to follow you? To be with you? You know, there is a real danger on being indecisive, on looking back all the time. Because you won't grow. You won't be the one who God intended you to be. You will be up and down, and you know, your life will never show Christ. And that's what we're trying to do, you know, that your life and your work will display Christ. That with your family, you know, you will display Christ. That everybody will see in your work that you say, Lord, you know, I will follow you. Take that decision and say, you know, Lord, search my heart and show me what is it. Am I afraid? Am I, you know, I don't want to pay the cost. That's what I've been, you know, all over and never follow you fully. That's what I don't serve you. That's what I don't, you know, when other people see me, they say, oh, is he a Christian? You know, is he a follower of Christ? Is he a disciple? You know, We're gonna end up praying, and I want to pray that the Lord will show in your heart, you know, what is it that you have to, what is the cost for you, and then you can say, Lord, I will follow you, and He will say, yes, I am the biggest treasure in you, I am the biggest thing in you. That's why, you know, I know you love me. And you're willing to pay the price. We're going to pray. Thank you, Lord. Because you're just not calling us to follow you without telling us what it will cost to be your disciples, to be a follower of you. You know, Lord, what is stopping me. You know my idol. You know what is that very thing that doesn't let me follow you with all my heart, with all my soul. You said you will be with us. You said, come to me, all those who are weary and tired, and I will give you rest. You know I want to enjoy the benefits, Lord, of following you. But I'm willing to pay the price. Am I willing to say, Lord, here I am. Even when you're going to Jerusalem. Lord, I want you to be the biggest treasure in my life. The biggest treasure in my life, Lord. I want to put you first. I want to pay the price because I know the benefits are great. But if I don't willing to pay the price, I will never enjoy this Christian life, this life that you have called us to live. Show me, Lord, if there is something in me. Show me, guide me. I don't want to be looking back every time that I put my hand in the plow, every time that I say, Lord, I want to follow you, and I keep looking back. And I can never display your glory, your majesty, who you are, and show to the world your greatness, your love for us. Show me, Lord, what are those things that I keep looking and doesn't let me pursue you, follow you with all my heart? Because you said you will be with me. Thank you, Lord. Bless everybody here this morning. And we are in your hands. Teach us. We trust in you. Amen.